Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Mexicans, and then you're like, man, we're rolling. Like, oh, I love them.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll get you next time.
Sure, man.
Oh, what's going on, big dog? How you been?
What
you been up to, Kyle?
We are in room. Is it rude if I put my bare feet up on your hotel bed?
Not at all, buddy.
Like this?
That won't be nearly as gross as the...
what, you're going to do this room?
That and the... spaghetti sauce I found on my bed skirt last night.
Fingers crossed, spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, I looked at
which
it
is I want to make that a new phrase. Fingers crossed, spaghetti sauce. Instead of good luck, good luck.
Oh, fingers crossed, spaghetti sauce.
Good luck. Fingers crossed, spaghetti sauce. We get on that flight on time.
Knock on wood. Something else that rhymes with wood. Oh boy. Yeah, well, you did it, buddy. Another.
We did it. We are at the.
Well, you did all the heavy lifting.
We completed 13 shows in 10 days. We're in New Orleans right now. It was just shy of midnight.
Yep.
We just played the Howlin' Wolf. It was an excellent way to cap off this tour.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, man. I was grateful you got to do it. I hope you had fun.
Oh, dude, I had a blast. Had a blast, man.
Yeah.
So much fun. I think I talked about this before, but, like, you know, the whole pandemic and whatnot, like, I kind of fell out of love with comedy, and then I had to remind myself, oh, well, that's just because you haven't been able to do comedy, dumbass. But, man, getting out here, I mean, I like just doing my little small rooms, you know, when I go out and do my own little runs. But, man, opening for you and doing this, most of these rooms were just incredible.
I think it was past opening, man. People were out to see the package. People were out to see the package deal. We saw some biscuit shirts in the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always nice.
This was a...
Got some cool fan art.
I don't want to admit equal footing because I don't have to pay you more. But I think maybe no. But legit in the future, man. If we just straight up just make it a Boogie Monster tour or something, you know.
It was fun, dude. Like every show, like the whole run, we both were like, let's not jinx ourselves. Like
I'm still knocking on wood because maybe I'll miss my flight or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, every show was great.
Man.
some might have been less great than others, mm-hmm. but they were all great.
Yeah, the worst show was still pretty damn good. Yeah. And I don't even know what the worst show was. It doesn't matter. But
there was no worse. There was just slightly less great mm-hmm. shows.
Yeah. Highlights for me, probably, obviously, Atlanta. That was a highlight.
Oh, yeah.
And I think tonight was a highlight.
Tonight was a banger.
I mean, and Lafayette last night was a great show.
J.P. Leonard out of Lafayette putting on great shows. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm feeling, I still am not totally unwound yet
because
I'm still like in the rhythm.
Yeah.
I broke a lot of edge today.
You sure did. I'm sorry about that.
Man, I'm a man of my own will. We went to your favorite restaurant.
Dude, I hope I didn't hype it up too much, but.
It was great. I had what I was told today is a very offensive term to people from Louisiana.
Yeah.
But I had a bunch of crawbabies.
Do you think, like the guy when we're leaving,
crawbaby etouffee.
The guy we're leaving tonight, the venue mentioned it. Do you think people get really offended by that? I can't imagine.
No, I think he was being silly, but
yeah.
I mean, you take something that's just beloved,
true,
by your culture, and then you have a Yankee such as myself, like just a more well-educated northerner coming through with a funny quip about your simpleton cuisine. I could see how people might get upset about that.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not laughing to indicate the sarcasm that I'm saying by that.
Yeah, I would get offended.
I feel you're mad now, too.
If some dipshit from fucking New England came down and made fun of my biscuits and gravy. But, yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, how good was that meal? You had the crawfish etouffee.
I had crawbaby etouffee.
What size did you have? You had...
I didn't get the supreme. I had the regular.
No, I'm sorry. Sides.
Sides. Yeah. I got lima beans. I got potatoes. Everything had ham in it.
Yeah.
Every single thing. I think my Sprite had ham in it. There was just ham. It was gonna be ham. Where did I first break? What did I have on this trip? I can't remember where I first.
Was it smoked wings at the Albert in Atlanta?
That's a slippery slope. So that was Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll have one of these wings.
Yeah, so I think that was the first, and then Birmingham.
I ordered a thing with veggie sauces. Came with chicken sauces. I already had those wings.
Yeah. At Big Bad Breakfast, but even before that, the night before at the show in Birmingham, I got some Rodney Scott's barbecue, got some wings and some ribs.
Oh yeah, I had to eat a rib.
Yeah,
I had to have a rib, mm-hmm. and then today, straight up, not only was I eating meat, like we were like sitting by construction workers in this very tiny restaurant, and we were both nibbling on the same sausage.
Yeah.
You had that boudin. And I'm like, oh, you like, try some. I'm like, I'm trying to keep in mind, like, you're like a tough dude, and these other tough dudes on their break. And I'm like, let me get you, just take a bite out of it. So
rip you off
just,
a hunk.
Let me just go on, take a bite off your sausage. Take a chomp off your boudin.
I'm secure, man. You can chomp on my boudin anytime, buddy.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, we're just going to share this sausage. We're just going to pass a link back and forth.
Fucking Lady of the Tramp style. Oh man,
we boudined ourselves into sexual exploration.
As much as I love Baloo's where we ate today, they could throw on some music. How about some Muzak, a radio station, something? We're just sitting in there, and it's quiet.
It was bare bones. It was clearly more meant to be more of a takeout place, and then we were in the one 10x10 room with two tables in it, and then the other room looked like it was the break rooms that employees only. And they just had that opened up to people.
So yeah, and they had that, and then tonight we got a little moufaletta sandwich.
I'm sitting next to it.
Fuck, man.
I can't.
Shout out to Koshan Butcher. Man, I always talk about Koshan, which is where I'm going tomorrow, which is their proper restaurant. But next door, they have Koshan Butcher, which is a little butcher shop / sandwich shop.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. You go in there and get some boudin to go. They got pork belly sandwich, muffaletta sandwich, all kinds of cool shit. So that was awesome. Can we, going back to Birmingham real quick, can we take a second to address how rad the provisions at the Saturn were?
Oh yeah!
Oh my God! That's the coolest. I don't want to say comedy condo because it's not really a comedy club, but
like venue accommodations.
Mm-hmm. This
I
loft.
Think it's bigger than the club.
It's huge.
It's a loft apartment that's above the venue. It sleeps. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say my room had a bed and bunk beds in it, so my room would have slept three.
I just had the one bed, but then they had the four bunks. These cool, like, kind of tour bus style bunks,
and I think it's because it's owned by the guy from Manor Astro Man.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Brian somebody.
But yeah, they know that bands can roll through a lot of people, so here's accommodations for it.
Yeah.
Full kitchen, pool table, big vinyl collection, bunch of fun, like, all, like,
arcade
space
games.
Theme stuff on the wall, as from Manor Astro Man.
Mm-hmm.
Laundry. It's the nicest place. It's like a super fun Airbnb.
Yeah, huge patio or about a deck out there.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That is the exception, not the rule for places.
Yeah.
Not that every place has to go above and beyond, but you know, we've all been in a comedy condo.
Ugh. Gross.
I remember that one comedy condo. There was three of them. I was featuring, John Roy was headlining, and then the MC was a gal. And we get there, and one of the rooms just didn't have a door, it had a curtain.
Where was this? You don't have to say the club. What city?
It was.
Would they give it away?
Yeah.
What state?
The fact that one of the rooms had a curtain for a door should give it away for anybody to know. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but it's no longer a condo for that club. But
most of them are gross.
Yeah, this wasn't like gross, but it's just the fact that it was something that was for the MC. I'm like, well, let me take that. And the gal, you got have some privacy, have a room with a door. But
yeah,
I was there with John Roy, so I woke every morning with John Roy just knocking on the wall next to my curtain. Hey, you up? I am now, John.
Yeah,
let's respect the curtain. I know it doesn't demand respect in and of itself, but I am on the other side of this.
Yeah,
hoping for privacy.
Ugh.
But so that was, oh man, thank you to everybody.
Yeah.
What a great Christmas present from the southeastern United States.
Yeah. It's just so much fun, dude. It's just doing comedy every night, doing them in good venues, mm-hmm. in front of great crowds. Crowds that come out and appreciate what we're trying to do.
I really was the last couple. I was like, man, somebody's going to yell or mm-hmm. screw something up. And it wasn't.
I mean, we didn't have any. I mean, did you have any disruptive no. audience at all?
Nothing.
Like, I had none.
Nothing. People seemed like they were at a good time.
Shout out last night to my new buddy Colton in Lafayette. Brought us, they had a big, before the show, they had a boucherie.
Let's go over.
A hog killing.
We had pecan bourbon pie in Birmingham.
Yes.
And I left that business card in my room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but to the pecan bourbon pie folks, somebody brought us blueberry muffins.
Yes.
Back in Miami. Mm-hmm. What else? The Nick from Tonight, who I met in Nashville, made us awesome posters.
Apparently Nick and his, I don't know if that was his wife or his girlfriend, they drove down from Knoxville,
made a weekend out of, yeah.
Brought us some cool fan art, some cool posters. Like I was saying last night, Colton and his crew, they had a boucherie before the show. They brought me smoked brisket. Yeah,
that's when a French kid turns 15, right?
I think so.
Is that what that is?
There's a trash bag filled with croissants, and you beat it with a cane.
That's what I...
But yeah, he brought smoked brisket, smoked pork, boudin, andouille sausage, crawfish pie, crawfish etouffee, and maybe something else.
I throw you a now don't jump across the bed.
That's okay.
Beat me up here. Mm-hmm. Layperson's opinion of boudin.
Uh-huh. You didn't care for it?
More filler than killer.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the whole point, I guess. But I love it. I love it so much.
Give me just the meat.
It's like crust punk sausage.
That's disgusting. Think about what you said. That crust punk sausage is a dreadlock roll. It's a dreadlock rolled in fucking Fun Dip.
What didn't you like about it?
Deep fried over an overturned garbage can. That's what that is.
You didn't like the smoked boudin? You like that smoky
flavor? I liked it well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did like it, mm-hmm. but compared to other sausage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a local delicacy.
I enjoyed it, uh-huh. but I was kind of like, I think that part was hyped up.
Yeah, okay.
Because you see, there's signs, boudin, who can get the boudin? Yeah. Get them all there, the boudin.
Well,
boudin, 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 boudin. And then you get boudin, like, it's rice.
In defense of boudin.
We put rice in the sausage.
As much as I love Baloo's, and it is probably my favorite restaurant in the country, that's not their strongest attribute. Like, I've had better boudin. I've not had better... Like red beans and rice and lima beans.
My crawfish children were great. Yeah,
the crawfish
children were delicious.
Yeah, it's not their strongest thing, but man, there's some spots. I was tempted this morning to ask you to go. When you're on tour, you don't want to backtrack and drive more than you have to.
Yeah.
But when we're in Lafayette, we were probably 10 miles away from Scott, Louisiana, which is self-proclaimed the boudin capital of the world. And but it was in the opposite direction. But the spot. There's two or three spots there. The Best Stop, a place called Billy's, but like they specialize in boudin and cracklins. Where Baloo's, I feel like they're like, yeah, we'll throw that on there.
I still liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just throwing it out there. I did not know it. I was like, oh, there's like rice and there's non-sausage stuff.
Yeah, the rice, sausage. Liver. God knows what else.
Liver's a meat. Yeah. I'm fine with all that. It was the rice that I was like, oh, this is outside the sausage stuff that you put inside the sausage.
Yeah.
It's like you put the bun inside the sausage.
Yeah. Yeah. Throw a little more carbs in there.
Yeah. I still liked it, but I was like, oh, there's...
I get it. But yeah, man, this part of the country. If I lived in Louisiana, I'd already be dead. There's just no way around it. Like, if I just had access to this all the time...
It is, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And if I lived in New Orleans, I'd probably already be dead. I already had a couple daiquiris tonight. We went to, what was that place, that bar we went to tonight? The oldest bar?
Lafitte's, Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop.
And that's supposed to be the oldest bar in America?
Oldest bar in New Orleans. I think the oldest bar in America is a place called McSorley's in New York. Or maybe that's just the oldest bar in New York City, but... But yeah, I would like to know what people's regular lifestyle is here.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you live in a place, or like Miami, where everybody just, it's just cocaine and cocktails all night long, and then you just dance it all out so you're still healthy the next day or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how the locals deal with it.
I mean, we talked to old Sean Patton, get the inside scoop. I think there's just a resilience.
Did he grow up in New Orleans or out?
He grew up, I think he's from Slidell originally.
Okay, Slidell's not too far away.
But I think there's just a resilience. I mean, if you're going to grow up in the heat and all that, you're going to.
God, I forgot how humid it is down here.
Yeah.
Before the show, you were like, hey, let's go out a little bit. And you were two blocks away at some bar.
Yeah, you already had your show clothes on.
I was like, I'll just put my show clothes on, which includes a black denim jacket.
No way.
And next thing I know, we're walking like a mile and a half to Bourbon Street, and I'm just drenched.
Yeah.
Just, ugh. It's fucking December.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
I got real.
That's probably the only thing.
I too fan my pants.
It's the only thing I don't miss about the South. Was I remember just in Georgia, like obviously in the dead of summer you expect that, but yeah, I remember November. You know, there would be days where it's like 85 degrees, humid as fuck. You take a shower, you know, 5 minutes later you're just sweating,
peeling your nuts off your leg like a fruit roll up off the wax paper.
Oh man, that is rough. I get spoiled living out in California. I mean, obviously we have heat, but we don't have that humidity.
Yeah, you just gotta huff that smog, man.
So yeah, but how you feel overall? You feel good about everything?
I feel it was a success.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a tour was a success. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with. I think I needed it. Like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's some parts. Like I was moving some parts around, and like getting comfortable. I was definitely testing the audience, but I was doing like hour 15 every night. So yeah. I was going. I mean, it's my show. I'll do however long I want. But there's a limit to how much comedy can be consumed to where, like, it's diminishing returns. Like, no matter how funny it is, people are like, yeah, but we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, even when it's a good movie, you're like, this shit's three. You're still aware it's a three-hour-long movie. Even though you're like, it's good.
Yeah.
But this is past what I expected to spend on this movie.
Yeah.
But I was working it out, you know. Mm-hmm. It'll probably show up on things soon enough. I don't know.
Well, that's the beauty of doing runs like this where we're doing shows every night, you know, and then some nights doing multiple shows a night is like, from a comics perspective, you know, it's just, it's so nice to be able to get up every night. And not just, I mean, in L.A., we can get up every night and do spots.
Yeah, you can practice.
But, you know, you being able to do hour 15 every night, me being able to do 20, 25 every night, like, it definitely helps because, like, I feel so much more confident tonight than I did a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
You know, those first couple shows, you know, I definitely had some rust and because it had been several weeks since I've been on stage. But man, when you're up every night and it's like the you can make those adjustments quicker as opposed to like you do a show one show a week and then your next show's 7 days later, you're not going to remember all the little adjustments that you wanted to make. But doing it every night,
my problem is I'm losing my short set. I'm losing my short game.
That's a whole other
New York and a comedy seller, and I was like, I didn't do great.
That's a whole nother muscle. Yeah.
Forgot how to get up there and impress strangers in a short amount of time. Like, that's its own skill.
Yeah. I've struggled with that. Like, when I would come off long tours from the road, get back to L.A., oh, I'm doing 5 minutes tonight at Best Fish Taco. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Three minutes in. How's everybody doing?
Yeah. It's a whole different animal. But, yeah, man, just... Hate to be redundant, but
that's all right, man.
Such a
feeling gratitude.
It's
a holiday season. Feeling grateful for things.
Yeah.
It's December, what, 10th?
I think so.
9th. We got good food. We just did a bunch of shows.
Yeah, man.
We did the thing.
And we hit some cool towns, you know, like it's not always the case. Like, you know, I'm always grateful to go and tour wherever anyone will have me. But, you know, sometimes you're in Possum Butt, Arkansas, or, you know, wherever.
I mean, not like we got to see much. I mean, today was the most we went out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing, doing it every night. Different city every night. There's not a lot of downtime.
Yeah, I think I only got drunk after Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, a couple beers walking around.
Yeah, Huntsville was...
Huntsville, I decided to just get.
Well, Tom just, I don't know. It's like he broke into his dad's liquor cabinet or something.
Oh, yeah, he was giving me different tequilas and different kinds. High potency beers. And was that's when we did the last show, right?
What's that now?
Didn't we record the last episode after that one?
I think so. Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was doing my pratfalls, which I totally forgot. It's not even a blackout. I just don't, like, I just have gaps in memory. Mm-hmm. And then you put that video up. I forgot I did that. I was not blackout drunk by any means.
Yeah. No, you weren't blackout drunk.
I just forgot I did that. I'm mm-hmm. like, man, what's that mean? When you just have whole chunks of, like, your reason, like, is that short-term memory if the next day you don't remember you did that?
Man.
Or short-term memory, like, I just put my keys down in the other room and now I can't find it.
I've been having some of that. I think I got early onset Alzheimer's or something.
When does short-term memory turn into long-term memory? Like, mm-hmm. I lost my keys 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
I haven't found them in a week. Now is that long-term memory loss because you haven't found them over the course of a week?
Yeah.
If you forgot something you did yesterday and you don't remember it, then mm-hmm. that's long-term memory loss too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's one of my favorite John Doerr jokes. Mm-hmm. He goes, see if I can remember it. He goes, I have good long-term memory, but I have terrible short-term barbecue.
More John Doerr in
God,
the world,
God, I love
please.
John Doerr. God, he's funny. So anyway, so now... You've got to catch a 6 a.m. flight in about, what, 6 hours from now? 5 hours from now?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Whatever that math is.
Take that dumb Mazda we've been driving around in.
Yeah, you didn't care for that Mazda. It was fast. It was powerful. But I think it was too smart for its own good.
More bells and whistles than are necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the fact that I had to get out of the car... And then use the key fob to unlock the car to open the gas tank.
Yeah.
Which clearly the person before didn't realize that because the door had been pulled off and glued back on.
Yeah.
Which I almost did myself the first time we had to put gas in it. And I'm like, well, let's read the owner's manual before we just start fucking hulking out on parts of this rental car.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, too many bells and whistles that were unnecessary. But either way, it got us here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, now it's just chilling out holiday times.
Hell yeah, dude.
And I'm going to fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking a little vacation.
Nice.
We're fucking off for a bit.
Nice.
You're fucking off in Long Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, I got no real plans. We still don't know what our plans are. If, you know, we're probably going to go see father-in-law, hang out with him for a little bit, maybe do that. Last year, we did family stuff Christmas mm-hmm. Eve day. And then just Katie and I on Christmas Day. And I kind of like
that.
I kind of like getting the family obligations out of the way up front. Not that it's like a chore, an obligation. You know, I like to see family. I mean, I'm not going to see my family this year, but or last year. But, yeah, you know, go hang out with father-in-law for a little
first
bit.
First Christmas as a married couple.
First Christmas as a married couple. So,
is there pressure on the gifts?
Man, there's always
I know
pressures.
We talked about this on the bonus episode about the gift giving.
Yeah, we talked a lot of Christmas stuff on the Patreon bonus, but I was actually texting Katie's friend today, like, hey, Katie mention anything about what she might want? Because I just, she's hard to shop for. And she will disagree. She's like, what are you talking about? You know,
I think the way you guys like take weekends here and there, like I got us a trip, like that's always a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually what we do for birthdays.
You ever been to Catalina?
No, I've been wanting to go to Catalina, but she's not into it. I think she went as a teenager and didn't have a good time, but I'm like, okay. It's right there. It's like 20 miles off the coast of Long Beach.
Yeah.
It's this cool island.
Tegan got us, I was talking about how like my sister and I would just give each other experience gifts.
Mm-hmm.
She just got us a helicopter ride there.
Oh, wow.
So we took a helicopter to Catalina.
That's cool. Did you stay all day?
We went out there. We stayed for a couple nights. And then, it's also weird, though, because they ask you how much you weigh to get on a helicopter, mm-hmm. and that's not the question. I had to book it, and then that's not the question you ask a lady.
Yeah.
And I had to in regards to safety.
That's an old James Gregory joke.
You want to kick into your James Gregory?
Well, they asked me, it was on a two-passenger plane, they asked me how much I weigh. I was like, well, you need to know. They're like, we need to know how much fuel to put in. I'm like, I weigh 900 pounds. Fill it up.
I think
fill it up.
I think I need to educate myself on some James Gregory.
Oh my God.
Because when you say James Gregory, and in my head I'm thinking Dick Gregory. I'm like, there's no way he sounds like
that. Yeah, very different.
There's no way that wise old black guy sounds like a gay Southerner.
That's a terrible impression, Dave.
I think you're kind of far off on your Dick Gregory impersonation.
Different content, too.
Yeah, that's a subject. Really? Dick Gregory said that? That's his material?
Talking about pecan waffles?
I'm surprised. I thought he was harder hitting. I thought he was more sociopolitical, but I guess everybody's got to be diverse with their act.
One of my favorite James Gregory jokes, because people are stupid. I was in a diner the other day. I ordered coffee with no cream. She said, hell, we're out of cream. You're going to have it with no sugar. Get them, James.
You were, it was Wes Van Horn who opened, and was Chris Ivey?
Yeah, Chris Ivey. Yeah, me and Chris.
A couple of Southerners. They were tickled pink over this impersonation. Granted, that could have been their blood pressure, but were tickled pink over your James Gregory. I was laughing along just because I was watching them laugh, but like, I don't know who this fucking guy is. But everybody else seems to be having a good time, and I don't want to be left out, so I'll enjoy myself.
Saw a sign the other day that said, lawnmower repair and income tax service. Now, how the hell did they come up with that? You know, Kyle, you did a hell of a job on my lawnmower. I think I'll let you do my taxes.
I can see how it's a great show. I could absolutely... You ever, like, sat in an audience and been like, this is not my style of anything, mm-hmm. but everybody around me is having so much fun.
Yeah.
That's how people join cults. I think that's it. Like, you're just around enough people having a good time. Like, yeah, I guess I'll get into it too. You know, the power, like, of not wanting to feel left out is a very motivating thing to get people. Like, I'm not that James Gregory is a cult by any means, but in a somewhat related boogie monster idea that, you know, you get people, well, we're all doing it. Come on, we're all doing it. So that makes it seem normal when everybody around you is doing a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel the few times I've accidentally been inside the club. I'm not a big club guy, but if I find myself, it's like, boy, all right, well, I hate this music and most of these people, but all right, might as well.
But now you're fun shirt guy.
Yeah.
And that might change it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why if anybody's like, I don't know, I just think stand-up comedy's stupid, I'm like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at somebody on stage go, and then I was like this, and she was like this, and just a bunch of people guffawing. Like, yeah, I could see somebody thinking that's a pretty stupid way to spend some time. Like, honestly, I could see, like, really? All these people are laughing at that. Like,
yeah.
Nah, man.
Yeah, especially if you see, you know, I mean, I don't want to throw my industry under the bus, but a lot of it's not good. Let's just be honest. Well, any art. I mean, you know, what percentage of bands are worth a shit? You know, but
to see a whole audience like guffawing and some guys up there just doing the old stool fuck.
Yeah.
Especially as another comedian where you want to yell at the audience like, this isn't good. Yeah. There's good comedy.
Yeah,
but then I've become my roommate. I'm like, why are you watching Transformers? That's stupid. You're supposed to be watching fucking, what's the, I can never remember the movie that he watched, the 4-hour Stanley Kubrick.
Space Odyssey?
No, it's some other old time. I'm going to look it up now. I want to know it. I want to know it for the sake of this. It's not Barton Fink. Barton Fink
is that's Coen Brothers.
But it sounds like, and then I want to say Barney Miller, and that's way off.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It is Barney somebody, right?
Stanley, let's just say for the sake of argument, it's a 4-hour dramatic rendition of Barney Miller.
Did I tell you? I think we talked about this maybe 6 months ago. I finally watched Space Odyssey. And is that the name of Space Odyssey 2001? I didn't get it, man. A lot of it was just over my head.
Barry Lyndon.
That's it.
Not Barney Miller. And granted, I've never seen Barry Lyndon, but to think, like, to realize that if you're not watching that, you're an idiot. That's how.
Yeah.
You know, I feel about people that watch popular comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. I had a little bit of that in my 20s.
We all did.
Yeah. my girlfriend at the time, we, I think I've talked about this, like before I did comedy, we used to kind of judge people based on what they were into. You know, like in my 20s, we were both just very judgmental. But then it's like when that's your identity, like, oh, I'm cool because I like these things. Okay, but what do you do? What do you offer society? Are you artistic? Not that everybody has to be creative or artistic.
But more so, yeah, they'll judge somebody based on what they like as opposed to who they are.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's a shitty thing.
Yeah, yeah, and we were both very much that.
Here's an absolutely nice person, but they're a fucking dork who likes Dave Matthews Band. Fuck that, I'm going to hang out with the scumbags. We like the same music. Yeah. Like, that's...
Yep.
This guy keeps stealing money from me.
What is that? Like, is that just a holdover from your teens where just everything has to be cool?
I think you're just underdeveloped emotionally.
Yeah.
And so you relate on what you like this, I like this too. Mm-hmm. Not are you of good character?
Yeah.
Would you make a good moral judgment in the face of pressure? Like, that's not what you're thinking when you're 16. You're you like the same bands, we're friends, you got big tits, so I'm going to hang out with you. And
yeah, I was thinking about that recently because I was trying to work on a premise about Katie, but like on paper, Katie and I have very little in common in terms of superficial stuff. You know, she likes Real Housewives and hates sports.
Yeah,
I like football and hate reality TV. She doesn't give a shit about music. I mean, she'll listen to just top 40, whatever. I nerd out and get into weird, obscure stuff. But, like, once you get older, you realize that that's just superficial. That girlfriend I was talking about, we had all of that in common. We liked all the same bands, liked all the same movies. And then, you know, then one day we just kind of woke up and was like, oh, we don't really like each other that much.
Yeah, that's not a friend. Like, oh, we go do the same things. But, Rachel and I have nothing in common. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a blast.
Yeah.
Like, I want to watch this movie. All right, but I think you're a fucking dork for liking it. Cool, what do you want to watch? Well, you suck because that movie's stupid.
Yeah.
But we're still like, you watch the thing I want to watch, I watch the thing you want to watch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's part of it, too. Like, even though
we both
I don't
have a sense of humor about ourselves, so we can laugh at the other one. We're like, all right, this was a bad call.
Yeah. And even though I don't like what she likes and vice versa, I like that she likes that. Like, you know, oh, you like Real Housewives? I'm good for you for enjoying something, even if it's not something I enjoy.
I don't think I could be in a relationship where it's, what are you doing? All right, I'll do that with you. You know, I'm glad there's like, you know, she's like, I'm going to go roller skating. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go mountain biking. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the people who make their, I mean, you know, those people, like they get in a relationship and they just become whatever the other person is. They're just chameleon changing. Like,
Yeah. Oh,
this is who I'm dating now. So now I'm into the stuff that they're into.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's how some people, I guess, derive value from like, see, I like it too. Cause they're not confident enough in maybe who they are as a person. I don't know. It takes a lot of confidence. Be like, hey, let's hang out. I like nothing that you like.
Have you ever fallen into that trap at all in past relationships where like you find yourself being like, this isn't really who I am. I'm just pretending to do this to get laid or whatever.
I don't think I did. I think I've dated gals.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I'll just do whatever you're doing. I'm like, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
That like at least if you're going to come, at least make fun of it.
Yeah.
Or say what you're like, don't just be here because this is what I'm doing and you don't have your own things to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause then it's like, I'm out with my friends, but I brought my girlfriend. Are you having fun? How are you doing? Like, I can't relax. The best thing about Rachel is, like, even if I'm out with my friends, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
I do not have to worry. Because if she is like, you know what? I think I'm tired. I'm going to get going. All right. I'll see you at home. Or you know what? It is probably time to go home.
Yeah.
She's a grown adult that can absolutely handle her own shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not really having fun at this. I'm going to get out of here. I don't take it personally. I'm not mad. I'm glad you tried to see these bands with me or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for coming out. I'll see you at home.
Yeah. Thanks for putting forth an effort. But yeah, it's fine that this isn't your cup of tea.
And the same note, like, all right, I'll come try this thing out. But you know, I think I'm going to cut out for a minute now. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. I think it's just finding that middle ground of like, I'm not going to change who I am just be to suit you and your interests. But at the same time, I'm going to be open-minded enough to be like, yeah, I don't give a shit about this, but you like it, so I'll tag along and experience it and give it a shot.
And there's something to be said for being like, I normally wouldn't do that. Like, I have my own skates now. Guess what? Roller skating's pretty fun. I don't want to do it all the time like she does. Mm-hmm. But somebody's like, yeah, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything. Let's go to the roller rink and go do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just, at least for me personally, that's just, that comes with age, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, now I'm older, I'm just comfortable. Like, no, this is who I am. This is what I'm into. But also, you're not a fucking dork because you're not, you don't have the exact same interest.
Yeah, but when you're a kid, you... I mean, at least for me, I was like, oh, well, I got to wear who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need the world to know exactly who I think I am by how I'm dressing. Or I got to get a tattoo early. You know, I was still at the tail end of, like, tattoos weren't just quite like anybody and everybody was still like, nah, man, I'm like music. Rock and roll, punk rock dudes, I have a tattoo.
Yeah.
And I was so desperate for that. I tried so fucking hard. And I went through so many phases, so many subsets of fucking punk rock guy, then failed rockabilly look, which slowly slid into like the social distortion punk slash rockabilly. Couldn't get the hair right, but I'll wear Dickies and white tank tops type of shit. And just...
I think I've seen pictures of you when you're younger and you got some chops. You got
Big old muttons.
Big old mutton chops.
Big old muddies.
Which I never had a problem with that look. I always thought that was pretty cool.
I thought it was real cool. Mm-hmm. And I look bad. And you got to think about it, at the time, that wasn't as preposterous.
Yeah.
Like, it's like looking at somebody like bell bottoms and shit in the 60s. Like, well, that was cool then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was so fucking desperate to just be cool. So fucking desperate, man.
Yeah.
And comedy was like the ultimate. This is not cool at all.
Yeah.
But I want to do this. Because it was 99, and so it was still like the tail end of punk rock and being in bands, and it's like a comedy was not a thing that anybody cared about. I'm like, I gotta try this thing.
Yeah.
And it goes against everything. I still try to look cool at comedy, which is even a dumber look.
Because
the people at comedy sniff out that bullshit even faster than other people.
Oh.
But we survived. We made it through.
It's the fucking worst.
Yeah.
The alt comics that don't have a good 10 minutes, but they've got their business card with their fucking cool headshot. And
got to have cool references, man.
Yeah. Oh, God. We had a guy, I won't name his name, but we had a guy who had a business card, and it had his name, and it said Alternative Stand-Up Comedy. Really? Because you got a shitty abortion joke, you're fucking alternative stand-up comedy?
That was the branding at the time, man.
Ugh.
But I'll keep in mind, though, like what comedy was in 99 or 2000. Mm-hmm. So you had to like try and separate yourself. Like, I'm not going to talk about my wife and kids.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. I'm feeling all congested now.
Yeah, I think maybe I gave you what I've been fighting a cough this whole tour.
I just meant just now from sitting here.
I've been
huffing each other's farts in this room. I had muffled. I think now I'm eating meat or something. I got meat that got me all clogged up.
I've been sucking on Robitussin this whole fucking tour. Oh, man.
Sucking on the tussin.
I was going to, well, I half-assed, per usual, prepared a topic. But
we
I
don't need a topic, man.
I'm tired.
It's midnight on the final night of our tour.
Yeah, it's amazing we even hit record tonight.
Let's say thank you to everybody for another weird year out there.
Yeah.
Thank you for being... thanks to the Reddit folks. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the people that came to the live shows.
Yeah.
If you gave us gifts and we forgot, I'm very sorry. I wish I was better about documenting that.
Yeah.
I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not nah. People went all the way to give stuff.
No, I don't mean like nah. I just mean the documenting it.
Well, yeah. I don't think they're looking for that, but still, that would be the gracious way to handle it. You know, it's Christmas, and so it's not the season of giving and joy for me. It's a season of guilt and a tallying of the year's mistakes.
Oh, buddy, we got to get you to enjoy Christmas a little more.
No, we don't.
No?
No, we don't at all.
Well, you go enjoy your vacation, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck off.
Get your feet in the water, feet in the sand.
We're done, man.
Don't get a sunburn.
I will.
Love that bit, by the way.
I will. Finally found a home for it. Yeah, record the last few sets so I don't forget them, and then hopefully in the springtime, probably record it all.
Yeah.
Just make a free YouTube special. Give it out for free. That's how you got
to
do it.
Yeah, that seems to be the new way of doing it.
All right, man.
Buddy. Hey, great tour. Thanks for letting me tag along.
Fucking did it. It wasn't tagging along. It was an added bonus. People were like psyched that you were on the show.
Well, it was an honor to be there. And I said it last time, and I won't get so sappy again, but it was a real honor watching you do your thing every night,
dude.
Get
the fuck out of here.
You really, I mean, 15 years in, I'm still learning. You know, I still learn shit every night.
22 years in, still learning.
Yeah. I never want to get to the point where I think I've got, well, that's the beauty of comedy. You fucking never have it figured out.
It's a jigsaw puzzle with no edges.
Yeah. But it's been a lot of fun.
Border pieces.
Man, all those years of being a feature. I mean, I used to give every headliner the benefit of the doubt. I'll watch that first couple sets, but most of them, it was just like, oh, all right, seen it.
Yeah.
But I watched pretty much every minute of every set of yours and just really enjoyed it, dude. It was great to see you. You're at the top of your game, man. You're top of the craft.
I'm in the zone right now. I'm gonna erase that zone over the next few weeks with daiquiris and. But likewise, man. Then you were like working on new stuff, pushing yourself out of your own comfort zone. Few shows.
Yeah, I mean, I have to working with you, man. I can't go up there and just fucking go through the motions.
You can do whatever you want because the set was tight. But it's like I told you, featuring is the best time you'll ever have in comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the most forgiving time you'll ever have. Mm-hmm. There's no pressure opening the show. There's no pressure of closing the show.
Yeah.
It's the fuck. The best time.
In a weird way I miss it, you know. This reminded me of all those years of being a middle act. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot how good I had.
It's nothing but it's the best time in comedy.
But it was a great run, buddy, and not only was it fun, but you know, I'm always appreciative when we get through a run and there was no obstacles, no bad luck. You know,
still got to get home.
That's true. Still got to catch that plane.
I still got to get home.
But yeah, like logistically, everything went smooth. The travel was smooth. We ate some great food, had some great shows.
Almost ran out of gas in the bayou today, but we made it through.
Almost got stuck in the swamp. But guys, thanks so much for listening to the Boogie Monster. We appreciate you. And, you know, whatever you're celebrating this holiday season, have fun, be safe, take care of one another. And we're going to take a few weeks off, and we'll see you in the new year.
You betcha, man.
All right, buddy, be safe.
The Boogie Monster.
A podcast network.